Greetings and salutations. It's me, your favorite little kitty cat, and it is Monday evening. I spent some time with someone today, with the alcoholic, and trying to get him to rest because he's just been going nonstop. They recently took him off of work to monitor medication. And like I think I might have mentioned in my previous audio that he's I forgot what you call him. But he was sober for a decade, and then had a few triggers that caused him to relapse. And after talking to him last night and telling him that only he can make the decision and that it wouldn't be easy if he chose sobriety, that it was going to hurt and that it was going to be a lot of work. And because he was, I wouldn't say suicidal, but he definitely was, you know, talking of, you know, it would be much more easier, you know, it'll stop the voices in his head and everybody will be better off kind of thing. And I did get him to sleep most of the day. And I told him last night, I said, rest, because the brain can't keep going, you know, nonstop, like he's been going. And I know they meant well by taking him off of work, but to me, it's one of the worst things they could have done to him, because it's kind of like there's no focus now. Before, there he still had to, you know, focus on work and kind of somewhat be sober, but now that he doesn't, there's nothing. His one last string to sobriety, you know, to semi-sobriety, you know what I mean, it's gone. And he texted me just a few minutes ago stating that he was at the hospital and that they might admit him. And I think that would be one of the best things for him. And I asked, you know, what had happened, if he was okay. And he said that he's just really tired of his mind racing. He has severe attention deficit, and he takes Ritalin for that. And I think when people have undiagnosed, and here's the thing, where I've read that, well, I think, what is the book called, the DMSR something, for this year finally listed alcoholism as a mental illness. And they say that mental illness, there's usually one main illness and then there's a secondary. There's always usually a secondary. And I think because of his childhood, I think he's got a lot of issues that have not been resolved. Even when he did do the inpatient treatment and the counseling, but I think he did the marriage counseling. I don't think he did like the actual one-on-one, and I think he really needs that. And you know, when you think about it, to have to step out of life, you know, that you just say, I need a timeout to remove yourself from it. And to me, him going to the hospital of his own volition, of his own accord, of his own decision, to me says volumes that he knows that he's going to want it, and that he knows that there's something going on with his life and that he is tired of living in chaos. So to me, it is a good thing that he went to the hospital. I did ask it, you know, if he needed me to come down there. He said, no, he's fine. He just can't be alone. I never could when I was younger. I didn't like to be alone because I had no control of it. And being an only child, I had to stay in my room. I mean, there wasn't anything else to do, to go in the rest of the house. And when I did play outside, I couldn't go far until I got older. And then I couldn't go far. Yeah. And when you're an only child, what are you going to leave your room for? But I always felt that that was a death sentence when I was younger. And now I don't mind being in my room versus the rest of the house. But it took a lot, I think, of processing and lots of tears. But he, like I said, he reminds me of when I was young, when I was in my 20s, not in my 30s. I stopped. I mean, I still was emotional, but not to the degree he is. And he's in his 40s, close to my age. You know, where he's constantly still seeking acceptance from his mother, from his stepfather, from his siblings. I mean, he's always trying to not be the black sheep or the fuck up kind of thing. You know, whereas everybody, oh, that's how he is. He's just a screw up. And then he would just go, well, they already said I'm a screw up, so that's what I'm going to be. And you have to deprogram yourself. And I told him, I said, you have to, you believed what they told you. And you can't. And I think that's where he has a lot of his problems from childhood, from, you know, believing all that. I'm worried, but then again, I'm not worried. I'm worried that his ex-girlfriend will be there, and she's, to me, poison. I've never, and I don't know if I've said this in other, but his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or whoever, whatever, she's something. Her baby daddy has a restraining order out against her. She's had her kids taken away for shooting a BB gun at her oldest son. And them two together, if he's alive in 6 months, it'll be a miracle to me. But anyway, those are just some thoughts I needed to get out of my head. Thanks for listening, guys. Laterness, people.